Hi. This week, the question is, what does the Bible say about gambling? As a member of the Church of Christ, I'm opposed to gambling of any form, whether it be the state lottery, horse racing, dog racing, card games, or wagering on the outcome of some sporting event. Although the Bible does not say anything directly about the subject of gambling, there are some Bible principles which have a bearing on this subject, and I'd like to share those with you for your consideration. Number one, I'm opposed to gambling because there is no Bible authority for gambling. Once a brother in the church asked me this question, George, if you could just give one passage of Scripture to oppose gambling, what passage would you give? And I told him, brother, you're asking the wrong question. What you ought to be asking is, what one passage of Scripture is there authorizing gambling? Now, according to the New Testament Scriptures, everything that Christians do must be authorized either by the Lord Jesus Himself or by one of His official representatives, the apostles. In Colossians 3, verse 17, the Bible says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus means to do things by His authorization. Here are eight ways that the New Testament authorizes a Christian to obtain money. Number one, the New Testament authorizes Christians to acquire money by working, Ephesians 4:28. The New Testament authorizes Christians, number two, to acquire money by investment, Matthew 25, verse 27. Number three, the New Testament authorizes Christians to acquire money by inheritance, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Number four, the New Testament authorizes Christians to acquire money by gifting, Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. Number five, the New Testament authorizes that Christians may acquire money by marriage, Matthew 19, verses 5 through 6. Number six, the New Testament authorizes Christians to acquire money by borrowing, Matthew 5, verse 42. Number seven, the New Testament authorizes Christians to acquire money by begging, Acts 3 and verse 10. And number 8, the New Testament authorizes Christians to acquire money by finding money, Matthew 13, verse 44. Here then are eight ways which are authorized for making money. Gambling is not one of those authorized ways. Since gambling is not authorized, a Christian may not acquire money by gambling. The amount of money is not the issue which makes gambling wrong. Some think, well, you know, if a Christian wagers all of his paycheck, that'd be wrong. But if he wagers just a dollar on a slot machine, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, whether it's $1 or $1 million, gambling is wrong simply because neither Jesus nor his apostles authorized gambling as a legitimate way for a Christian to acquire money. Rather than asking what's wrong with gambling, we should be asking, where is gambling authorized? And it's not. Number two, I'm opposed to gambling because it violates the New Testament commands for good stewardship. Christians are to be good stewards over the physical possessions that God placed in their care. In Luke 12, verse 42, the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward whom the master will make ruler over his household? In Luke 16, verse 11, therefore, if you've been faithful in unrighteous mammon, or money, who will commit to you the true riches? So being a faithful steward means using one's money, time, and property in the best way possible. Gambling violates this principle. People often take what should be used to pay their debts, and they purchase lottery tickets hoping to strike it rich. They take what should have been used to buy groceries, and they waste it on a million and one chance of becoming rich. They take money that could be used for the poor or for the Lord's service, and they waste it and lose it. Very often when people do win at gambling, they waste what they win. Many, many people have won millions at state lotteries and have wasted their millions as fast as they got it, and they end up filing bankruptcy with nothing to pay their debts. Gambling then promotes poor stewardship. Number three, I'm opposed to gambling because it promotes covetousness. Covetousness is a hunger and a thirst for money and possessions. It's greed. Covetousness, or greed, is the source of all kinds of evil. In Ephesians 5, verse 3, the Bible says, "Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints." Well, this passage strictly forbids covetousness and greed. For money, men do all sorts of evil things. Gambling breeds this inordinate desire for money, which will be used not for honorable purposes, but simply for the winner to bask in his riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Listen to this passage. Listen carefully. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And because gambling breeds and promotes this attitude, I'm opposed to it. Gambling on either a large or a small scale attracts mobsters, cheats, and criminals who extort, swindle, steal, and kill for money. In July of 1994, a Colombian soccer player named Andreas Escobar was murdered because he was responsible for losing a soccer game that had large amounts of money wagered on his winning the game. Number four, I'm opposed to gambling because it promotes laziness. The Bible teaches that men are to labor and to work for the money that they earn. Someone said one time that the Bible promises no loaves for loafers, and that's certainly true. The Bible warns in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Well, this passage teaches that honest work is the way that men should obtain the bread which they eat, but gambling promotes the spirit of gaining something for nothing. Number five, I'm opposed to gambling because it promotes envy and jealousy. When someone wins at gambling, it also means that someone else loses. Very often, the losers become jealous and envious at the winners, and hatred, sometimes accompanied with violence, results. The scriptures record in James 3, verse 16, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." In 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." Envy and those things which promote envy must be avoided by Christians, and for this reason, I'm opposed to gambling. Number six, I'm opposed to gambling because it is addictive. There's an organization called Gamblers Anonymous whose sole purpose is to aid men and women who are addicted to gambling, and they can't stop themselves. They become so obsessed they can't stop, and they neglect their debts and their family's needs, and they waste their money on gambling rather than meeting their financial obligations. Many marriages and homes have been wrecked because of addiction to gambling. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control." Notice carefully, men in the last days would lose their self-control. And this certainly describes those who are addicted to gambling. They absolutely cannot stop themselves, and because gambling promotes this, I am opposed to it in any form, whether great or small. In summary, there are other things that could be said. Gambling promotes and breeds dishonesty and deceit. There's enough of this already without fanning the flames and adding more to what we already have. But I hope that I've given you some things to think about. Not everyone's going to agree with what I've said in this message, and not everyone is concerned about Bible principles. But the fact that you called this program probably indicates that you yourself are interested in what the Bible says. I hope that you'll ponder on these things, and if you find them to be true, that you will adjust your life as necessary to serve God in the way that His Word directs. Thanks for listening to our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. There are no spaces between those words, willofthelord.com. And there, at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. Call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.